A crazy Monday. It is a Patriots win Monday. The Pats moved to 10-2. They get a 23-3 win yesterday over the Buffalo Bills. It didn't come without some controversy, though. Tom Brady yelling at offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels on the sideline. Rob Gronkowski with a late hit on Bills defensive back Tre'Davious White. He has been given a one-game suspension by the NFL, and Gronk will reportedly appeal. Also in the NFL, the Giants have fired Ben McAdoo, their head coach, and Jerry Reese, their general manager. The Giants are 2-10 right now. They're coming off an 11-5 season last year in which they made the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. Eli Manning will reportedly be reinstituted as the Giants' starting quarterback. The New York Yankees have a new manager. It's Aaron Boone. He's the 33rd manager in Yankees history. He played for the Yankees for half a season back in 2003 and hit one of the most important home runs in Major League Baseball history when he had the 2003 ALCS Game 7 home run that beat the Boston Red Sox. Yankees went on to the World Series that season. So Boone, the newest manager of the Yankees. And the Yankees won't have a new Japanese phenom on their roster, and neither will the Red Sox, as Shohei Ohtani has informed both teams that he will not play in Boston or New York. Champlain Valley Game Night is next. You're listening to 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and the 101.3 ESPN app.
Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night here on a Monday on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and always streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app. We have a full show going up until 7 o'clock, 7:30 tonight. You can hear Bruins hockey. They're taking on the Nashville Predators, a team that made it to the Stanley Cup Finals a year ago. Over on 960 The Zone at 7, it's the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics. If you want to get into the show, 802-655-6672. You can do so on the phone line or get in on the Town Fair Tire text line. Again, we go up until 7 o'clock, and it is a packed show. And this is an amazing day in sports talk radio. Like, this is why you get into the business, to have four major stories all happening at once and having 3 hours to dissect it all. You have the Gronk story and now suspension. You have Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels. You have the Giants firing coach and general manager. You also have the Yankees getting a new manager over the weekend. So we'll try to unpack all of it here in the last hour. What exactly is coming up today? Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese fired, but I'm more mad right now at Giant owner John Mara. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Christine Lisi of ESPN Radio is going to stop by at 6:20. And Christine Lisi is the voice of the ESPN Radio sports centers that you hear throughout the day. So kind of an offbeat guest for us, but something that I'm pretty excited, because Christine Lisi is great. You hear her multiple times a day, and so she'll join the show at 6:20. Is the identity of the baseball manager changing? We'll talk about that at 6:40. And Shohei Ohtani says no to the Yankees and Red Sox. But where does baseball need him to sign now? Let's start with this. First and foremost, hope everybody had a great weekend. I did cut down my first Christmas tree, decorated a Christmas tree. A lot of fun. I usually just get the tree from, you know, a Lowe's or a Home Depot, someplace like that, Hewitt's in Clifton Park, New York, and the tree's already cut, and you get it, and they put it on your car, your roof, and then you go. This one actually involves some elbow grease cutting it down, and me, I am not a woodsman, I am not a lumberjack, I am not particularly handy. I can do some handyman things, I mean the basics, but I can't, you know, I don't trust me around a car. I'm not going to go fix your engine, I'm not going to do anything like that. And because my right shoulder is so messed up in ways from pitching my whole life, even sawing down this Christmas tree like took like a lot of toll on my shoulder. I was sore for a day and a half from that thing. I was like, wow, that's pretty pathetic. So it was fun, though. Good to get the Christmas tree, everyone in the holiday spirit. So that was fun. Hope all you guys, it feels like everybody else got their Christmas tree too this weekend, because the whole town was out in Essex, Jericho, at the tree farm. Let's start with the Patriots, though. A couple of things. What Gronk did was wrong, and I was fighting on Twitter with one of my old college teammates all day about about this. I don't understand who these Patriot fans are that think this is okay that Gronk acted in this way. I understand he was getting held. I understand on that play in particular, I thought it was pass interference. But you cannot tell me that that was an appropriate football play. You can't tell me that that's even an appropriate form of retaliation. That was about among the most cowardly things that you can do. I mean, at least when Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree, when they fought, they were at least squared up. That's what Ryan Clark said on Golic and Wingo, and I agree with that. They're at least facing each other, and they're making that decision to fight, and they're both going into it knowing that that's what they're doing. Tre'Davious White's on his stomach. He's looking at the ground. He's away from the play. The play is over, and Gronk effectively comes and body slams him. That's about as cowardly as it gets. Think about this in terms of other sports, okay? Retaliation is a thing, and I have advocated on this show for, in baseball at least, I am not offended by guys throwing at guys. I do believe in protecting your teammates. I do believe in protecting yourself if you're the offended party. I do believe in hard fouls. But there is a way to retaliate, and that isn't it. There's a reason why when I've thrown at three guys on purpose in my life, I've thrown at four. I missed one. I've hit three. I have hit three guys successfully in my life with a pitched baseball. And you know what you don't do? You don't go for the head. Where do you hit him? You hit him in the back. You hit him in the backside. Why? You send your message. You get the point across, and you don't hurt the guy. If I told you, hey, I threw the ball as hard as I could at his head, you'd be calling me a cheap shot artist because you don't do that. Gronk did the equivalent. He went after a guy who's out of the play, defenseless, laying on his stomach, and he cold-cocked him right in the back, and he gave him a concussion. Inappropriate. Unnecessary. If we're talking about basketball, and I want to take you for a hard foul, you know what you do? You go up high, you hit him in the arms, you hit him in the shoulders. You know what you don't do? You don't let him go up for the layup and then undercut him in the legs so he falls and lands on his back. You don't go and do that. Gronk did the equivalent yesterday. If we're talking about hockey, and I just bang you into the boards when you're not looking and hit you from the back, you'd be calling me the dirtiest player in the league. What Gronk did, it was the equivalent. Gronk gets a – people like Gronk. And Aaron's running the board right now, so Aaron, let's cue up this audio. Ryan Clark was on Golic and Wingo this morning. Let's see. This is Ryan Clark number two, so let's get that. Ryan Clark saying that people like Gronk. It's in the daily folder, Aaron. You can just grab it in the daily folder, and we can get ready to play that. So Ryan Clark, former defensive back with the Steelers, with the Redskins, he was on Golic and Wingo today. He said, look, man, people like Gronk, so people kind of write off – this behavior from yesterday, I'm not writing it off. I don't know who these people are who are writing it off as well. It was totally inappropriate. We've got Ryan Clark. No, we've got Ryan Clark number two, I want.
People think it's funny?
Yeah.
Is that the one? Yeah.
So Ryan Clark number one then? All right, let's hear it. Let's hear what Ryan Clark had to say on Golic and Wingo today.
If this is a guy named Perfect, or if it's one of those guys that does something like this, the reaction that we would have would be different. I'm sitting in the room watching with people, and people are laughing. People are sitting in the room and they're joking about it. And I'm sitting in the back and I'm upset because Tre'Davious is one of my close friends, a guy I train, a guy I know. I'll admit, I'm upset because I'm watching people laugh and joke, but it's part of the fun-loving guy. It's the same reason he can do certain things in the offseason that are unpatriot and we laugh at
those
things.
He's going to get a fair amount of leniency because he has
that
reputation.
But there can be no leniency to this if you're the NFL in
the
sense of player safety.
Gronk did get the one-game suspension. Ryan Clark justified in his thought process. I am not of the camp that this was funny. The minute I saw it, I said he deserved to be ejected. At first, I didn't think a suspension was going to come because Gronk has no prior history. But then when you start to examine, well, what are other equivalent level instances, people did get suspended, whether it was Mike Evans, whether it was Odell Beckham Jr. with Josh Norman from a couple years ago. Other guys without histories got one-game suspensions. I think it was totally justified. And another point to this, and I know people don't want to go there, but I think it's interesting. You look at what happened yesterday in the Patriots game. You have Gronk going after another player. And then you have Tom Brady yelling at Josh McDaniels. And on the specifics of Brady, Stephen A. Smith had to weigh in on this, and Stephen A. Smith was talking on First Take, and he thinks there's some racial double standards here. If Tom Brady were a black quarterback or a black athlete, would we look at him yelling at Josh McDaniels differently. This was Stephen A. earlier.
The fact is that Tom Brady, you know, he's had outbursts on the sidelines before. It is absolutely positively no big deal to me. In the heat of action, when you're on the sideline and you're going off, I understand that comes with it. In no way am I trying to excoriate Tom Brady. What I am attacking is the inconsistency of Joe or Susie Public out there, who would be quick to denigrate a black athlete if he was on the sideline acting that way. He'd be cited for insubordination. He would be perceived as being completely out of control, temper tantrum. Maybe he has some anger management issues and needs to take a course or something along those lines. But when Tom Brady does it, well, that's Tom Brady. Now,
I kind of lump these two together. Ryan Clark thinks Gronk gets a free pass because Gronk's fun-loving. Stephen A. Smith thinks that, well, it's not a big deal that Brady got on Josh McDaniels, and I totally disagree. I think it's a huge deal. He thinks he gets more of a free pass because he's white. Do I agree with that? Do you agree with that? 802-655-6672. I'll say this first. When it comes to Gronk, I think it has nothing to do with him being white. I think there is no racial undertone in why people look at Gronk the way they do. I think they look at it as Gronk's just funny, Gronk's fun-loving, Gronk's a big teddy bear. Gronk's a good guy. We like Gronk. This is a guy who's built up 7 years in the league of equity and fun-loving making a mistake. I don't think that because he's white, that's why he gets the free pass. Manny Ramirez is not white. Manny Ramirez had his whole persona defined by Manny being Manny. Had his whole persona defined by, hey, man, I'm just a weird guy doing weird things, and that's okay because I've always been that way. Gronk has always been the fun-loving guy, and he has never done anything until yesterday that has caused us to question his actions. So that's why he gets the free pass. If Gronk was Vontaze Burfict and had a whole laundry list of infractions, we'd be looking at it very differently. Gronk's got 7 years of good equity to his name right now in the league, and fans remember that. Gronk's not held to a different standard. Not because he's white, but because this is how he's always been. I say the same thing. Gronk is the football version of Manny Ramirez. Manny Ramirez was like this. Manny being Manny, no one had a problem with it. If Manny did something weird, it was like, hey, man, that's just who Manny is. He's always been like that. As for Tom Brady, do I think that Tom Brady gets a free pass because he is white? I'm going to say no. Going to say no, and the reason why is because Brady's a winner. I think it's a major problem. I think it's a major issue what Tom Brady did yesterday. I think there's no place for you to go after your coach. I do not think that that's appropriate. I do not think that that venue is appropriate. I do not think that in public it's appropriate. I do not think dropping FU to your coach is appropriate. But I don't think people look at it and say, ah, no big deal just because he's white. They look at it and say, no big deal because he's Tom Brady. No big deal because he's won 5 Super Bowls. No big deal because he's the greatest of all time. No big deal because he's been in his position for nearly 20 years. Josh McDaniels hasn't been in his for nearly 20 years. So people want to take Brady's side. So that has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do, in my opinion, with Brady's resume. To me, it doesn't make it appropriate. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Richard Sherman, if it's Tom Brady, if it's Odell Beckham Jr. I think it's inappropriate to get on your coaches like that. I think it's also inappropriate for the quarterback. The quarterback is held to a different standard regardless of race. I'd say the same thing if Russell Wilson did it. The quarterback is held to a different standard regardless of race. That guy is supposed to be CEO workmanlike, and don't tell me that him yelling at his coach is because he's a fiery, competitive leader. Lots of people are fiery and competitive but can do so and channel that energy in the right ways. Tom Brady didn't yesterday. He gets the free pass because he's Brady, not because he's white. So I think Stephen A. Smith is wrong, but I could see people who do have the hypocrisy to say, you know, if Cam Newton did it, would people be as favorable as Tom Brady? No, because he hasn't won as much in my mind. He hasn't won as much, and he's been pouty before. Shane in Plattsburgh says what I just said. He goes, Tom Brady gets a pass because he's Tom Brady. It has nothing to do with being white. Shane, you and I are in agreement. I could see a world where people look down on a black athlete that does that, but I don't think Tom Brady is the person to point that out with. I don't think that double standard works. Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't get the pass when he does it because he's got a history of being a problem in some ways. Tom Brady doesn't have that history. Tom Brady also wins a lot. It looks like we're getting a a phone call in here. So, again, if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Aaron, who we got?
Looks like Henry in Morrisville.
Henry in Morrisville, you're on Champlain Valley Game Night. What's going on, Henry?
Oh, not bad. How are you doing? I listen to you guys just about every night.
Thank you. We appreciate that, Henry. What's up?
So, you know, I've listened to Stephen A. Smith for quite a while. And, you know, in a lot of regards, he has a lot of positives to say. But I've noticed since this whole Colin Kaepernick ordeal and everything along those lines, and was he being blackballed and blah, 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 you know, it seems to be a part of that whole aspect of movement. And, you know, and I'm not saying, I was in the Army for 8 years. I don't see differences of colors generally. But I do see that currently it seems like, you know, it's like the Black Lives Matter movement and that whole aspect that's going along with that. It seems like it's more of a cry out for look at black people and how they're not treated equally. And, you know, I agree with you 100%. I don't think Tom Brady was responsible in his nature on how he was handling the situation. But I do understand, you know, Stephen A. did make a good point about the fiery nature of being competitive. You know, you get in the heat of the moment, you sometimes yell at people.
All right. Hey, Henry, we appreciate the call. I'll respond to that. I don't think being fiery, I don't think being competitive and being in the heat of the moment gets you a free pass on a lot of things. Gronk was in the heat of the moment yesterday when he body slammed Tre'Davious White. I'm not giving him a free pass. He was in the heat of the moment. I'm not giving him a free pass. I'm not giving Tom Brady a free pass either. I'm not giving him a free pass because I don't like the optics of it, and I don't think it's appropriate to go after your superiors that way. And I don't mean that Josh McDaniels is superior to Tom Brady, but when it comes to the hierarchy of the organization, he is. I do not think that that is a good look. I do not think that that is appropriate. I do not like it. I think people dismiss it because Tom Brady is Tom Brady and because he's won. And I think if you try to hold anybody else to that standard, they're going to say, well, hey, they haven't won as much as Tom Brady has. I think if you're going to point out the racial aspect in it, I could see black athletes being held to a different standard. But you're not going to prove it with Tom Brady in that case. If you want to write off a far lesser white quarterback, then maybe we can have the race discussion. I don't think Tom Brady is the guy to have that with, though. It's Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We're about 10 minutes away from Christine Lisi of ESPN Radio joining us. Very excited for that interview. Also, real quick, it's okay for you Patriot fans to love Gronk. It's okay to love Gronk and love the team without condoning what he did yesterday. It's okay. I promise you that that is okay. I like Gronk. I don't think Gronk is a dirty player. I thought that was a dirty play and the suspension was warranted and you move on. And Gronk, you know, hopefully learns his lesson and doesn't do it again. The Giants fired Ben McAdoo today and general manager Jerry Reese, but I'm more mad at John Mara. This doesn't feel like a well-run organization right now. The Giants kowtowed to the fans when they did this, okay? The Giants placated the fans by firing Ben McAdoo. You tell the guy he's got his job a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. He's got his job for the season, and now you fire him because of the fan uproar over Eli Manning. We just spent all week last week crushing Tennessee and the athletic department at the University of Tennessee. They didn't want Greg Schiano, so they dug up some skeletons that may or may not be there, and the fans got him. You know, he was never officially hired, but the fans took his job away from him, and we crushed them for lack of institutional control. The New York Giants just did the same thing. You fans didn't like Ben McAdoo, so you raised up and said, hey, we're not going to go to the game because Eli's not playing. Hey, we're not going to support the team, and the stadium's going to look empty. And that's the reason why Ben McAdoo got fired today. There's four things that could have happened in the Eli Manning situation, and none of them reflect well on John Mara. Here's number one. Number one is John Mara himself told Ben McAdoo to make the move to Geno Smith. If John Mara told Ben McAdoo to bench Geno Smith and then let Ben McAdoo take all the arrows from fans and reporters, then John Mara is a coward. That would be scenario one, and that would be cowardly. Number two, Ben McAdoo came up with the idea to bench Eli Manning, and John Mara told him it was okay. And in that case, again, he approved it and then fired him because the fans revolted to something he gave the approval to. I don't think that that is a good look. Number three, Ben McAdoo was told not to make the move and did it anyways, which shows that Mara didn't have the respect of McAdoo and company. And why didn't he have that? That would be a bad look for Mara also. Why don't you respect your boss? And then finally, scenario four, McAdoo just doesn't respect Mara enough to come up and talk to him about it. None of those are good looks for Mara. I'm more mad at Mara today than I am McAdoo. I don't think McAdoo has the appearance of a head coach right now. I didn't like what he said the first day that he got hired. I didn't like getting rid of Tom Coughlin. I didn't think any of that was good for the New York Giants. And the team is underachieved this year, and he appears to have lost the locker room. I don't think Jerry Reese has drafted well and developed well over the span of 10 years. 11 drafts for Jerry Reese, I count 15 useful to really above-average players. I mean, Hakeem Nicks, Mario Manningham, Odell Beckham, Landon Collins, there's a few. Justin Pugh, there's five. Prince Amukamara, Eli Apple maybe, Sterling Shepard, Will Beattie. We're talking about a couple of Weston Richburg, a couple of mid-level offensive linemen. I'm even including them in the success stories. You're talking about three drafts where zero or one players even remotely hit. I believe that those guys deserve to lose their job. But John Mara just bowing to what the fans are saying, that doesn't seem like an organization that's supposed to be run better than everybody else. I don't agree with that. It's Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Look, when we come back, Christine Lisi, she's a voice you hear every day, multiple times a day on this station. She is the voice of the SportsCenter updates on ESPN Radio. She's also a big Buffalo Bills fan. She also is a big Yankee fan. She joins us, and she joins us next on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 103 ESPN, 113ESPN.com. Busy day in sports. Gronk, the Giants, fired Ben McAdoo. That we haven't even touched the weekend. Aaron Boone hired by the Yankees as their next manager. And let's talk about all of that now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line with a voice you hear every day on this station. In fact, you hear her multiple times a day. She's one of the voices of ESPN Radio. She is the SportsCenter update anchor for ESPN. It's Christine Lisi. Christine, how are you?
Hi, Brady. I'm good. How are you? Well, a little overwhelmed today. It's busy.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to ask you, what's it like down there in Bristol today? Just everything going on.
I walk in at like 11:30. I get alerts on my phone, and I see Ben McAdoo's fired. So like things have just kind of been rolling since then, you know, trying to get sound from our guys to kind of explain what's going on, where the Giants are heading, you know, what their thinking was, all these kind of things. And then there's other news you have to get to, like Monday Night Football, and there's news on Derrick Rose and Anthony Davis out of the NBA, and the Cavaliers are going for a 12th straight win, which kind of gets kind of swept to the side today, but that is a huge deal as well. So it's very, very busy.
We talk about how much work it takes to prepare a show for the show host. How much preparation and research goes into your job as the update anchor?
I think we have quite a bit because they're a lot of opinion-based, and that's where their facts come from. For me, it's more we're giving out information, and you want to give out the best information as possible succinctly, because during the day we only have 70 seconds on nights and weekends. It's a minute 40. You have a little bit more time, but I want to give people as much information as I can. I want to get the best audio. I think our analysts are superb, so I work on cutting that up. And you know, Ryan Clark has been great today with his analysis of Ben McAdoo, but he's always been hard on him. I just think that it's quite a bit to prep. Like, I give it about an hour and a half before I go on the air, because I like to have most of my stuff written, and then you kind of tweak it as the day changes and the news changes of the day. So I don't feel, if you want to do a good job, for me anyways, I need a decent amount of prep time.
You know, one of the reasons why I love radio and I never thought about going into TV is because I like the idea of having an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to say whatever I want, not have to put things into a minute and 30 seconds. How do you pick and choose what stories you're going to talk about and condense it into, as you said, 70 seconds in some cases?
I think on a day today, it's easy because you have Ben McAdoo, and then everything else you kind of prioritize. And what I do is, if I can't get something in, you know, at 1 o'clock, I'll get it in at 1:30, or, you know what I mean? Like, I try the big stuff. I try to get that in at least once an hour, like, you know, mentioning the Cavs or Derrick Rose or anything like that. and our assignment desk and the folks out there, they do a great job of kind of putting out a hot list and telling us, you know, what's new, when it came out, what's important, and kind of going with that. My boss is great at helping us kind of determine things like that as well. So, you know, we do decide a lot on our own, but we also have a great team here, too, kind of helping us decide what direction to go.
Christine Lisi of ESPN Radio, you hear multiple times per day, every single day, because she is the voice of the SportsCenter updates. Christine, you're also a big sports fan. You are a fan of the Buffalo Bills. So what did you think of Gronk's hit yesterday on Tre'Davious White?
I thought it was, I kind of thought it was garbage. I didn't buy the, what did he say? He was frustrated?
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you frustrated with? That your whole career you've had one of the greatest quarterbacks ever throwing to you every Sunday? That you've won multiple Super Bowls? That you were pretty much dominating the Buffalo Bills as you have throughout the last 15 years? What exactly was frustrating? And he finished with 147 yards receiving or something like that. I thought it was foolish, and I think he should be suspended. And I don't just say that because I'm a Bills fan.
On a more comical note, because that incident was not funny, but since you have been a Bills fan forever, how frustrating is it to watch year in and year out the Patriots just come in and dominate the division?
I think it's frustrating for me and Jets fans and Dolphins fans too. I don't see it changing until Tom Brady retires, to be honest with you, because whoever they have out there, it all hinges on him, right?
Yeah.
I think that he's amazing, and he is, it's frustrating because, you know, I didn't have a good feeling about yesterday as it was. So I just, you know, I've seen this before, and I love Coach McDermott. And I love Brandon Bean, the GM. I think they're going to do some good work, and the team's going in the right direction. But I think it's just going to take a while because it's been a long time. Multiple coaches, multiple quarterbacks, which I think the Bills still need to find their quarterback. But it's hard. Like, you have so much hope come September, and the Bills started 5-2 this year, and it was wonderful. And then the wheels kind of, you know, come off late in the season. So hopefully they can still find a way to turn things around. I like I said, I really love Coach McDermott. I think he's exciting, and he brings a good culture to that locker room, and I think that they're going to go in the right direction. I just think they really need a quarterback.
Christine, have you ever thrown yourself through a table as part of the Bills Mafia?
No, I haven't done that. never done anything like that.
Christine, you're also a Yankee fan, so I got to ask you about now your former ESPN colleague in Aaron Boone, someone who you've seen around the campus at Bristol. What do you think about the hiring of Aaron Boone as the Yankees' next manager?
I had heard, even before they fired Joe Girardi or didn't bring him back, however people want to phrase that, I had heard that Boone would be one of the favorites to come in because, according to our analysts and everything, you know, he was what the Yankees were looking for and what teams are looking for. He's a numbers guy. He's an analytics guy. He's young, like all these things. And I wasn't surprised that, you know, that they brought him in for that reason, because I think our experts know, they have a pulse on, you know, how the game is changing and what they need. I personally love Joe Girardi, and I didn't see the need for a change. Granted, I'm not in New York. I don't know how the players feel about him or anything, but I mean, he got them within one game of the World Series.
Yeah.
With all those kids and all the injuries, I just think it was really, really, I don't know, I thought it was too bad. I thought he deserved better.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he deserved better also. We're talking with Christine Lisi of ESPN Radio with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night. Let's step away from sports because, you know, I go to your Twitter account today and I find out, A, that it's National Cookie Day, B, that you apparently made cookies for ESPN Radio, and then my brother works at ESPN Radio, and when I told him I was interviewing you, he goes, Brady, you have to ask her about her baking skills. So I have to ask you, how often are you baking for the people at ESPN?
I do, like, your brother Troy's awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
I do once or twice a week. I always do on weekends, and then, like, yesterday, because I didn't want to watch the Bills. I wasn't sure how much of the Bills I wanted to watch, so I had it on, and then I was decorating the house, and then I was baking, so I kind of kept an eye on the game a little bit. But I mean, I'm Italian. I love cooking. I love baking, so I try to bring things in, I don't know, once or twice a week. Try to mix it up. I take requests. I bake for people's birthdays. I do all that stuff.
Well, no wonder my brother loves working there so much. Hey, Christina, how important is it for you to have that work-life balance? Because I think a lot of people just assume that everyone who works at ESPN is so, you know, so career-driven that they don't have time for anything else. But you're the living example that it's possible to be career-driven and enjoy some other things other than your job. How important has that been for you, and was it easy to find all along?
I think it's very important because you don't want to become just about your work.
Yeah.
Because I think that then you lead a very kind of, I don't want to say small life. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what the right way to phrase it is. I just think it's so important to be able to do other things and spend time with your friends and your family, your spouses, you know, just different things like that. I just think it's really important to have, you know, have a balance like that in your life, no, whether you work in this industry or any industry.
Christine, we'll get you out of here on this fun note. So I always have fun with our listeners on the other side of Lake Champlain because SUNY Plattsburgh on the other side of the lake. I went to SUNY Oswego. I love Oswego. Mm-hmm. You also come from a SUNYAC school. You went to SUNY Geneseo. So pretty cool little SUNYAC triumvirate we got going right now.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I am such a big fan of the SUNY schools. Geneseo, I can't speak highly enough of. Like, I have a group of friends. There's seven of us, and we have been friends since freshman year, and we still are to this day. We get together once a year. I love paying attention to the ice nights.
Yep.
And all the other sports and everything, and I just, it's so much fun. And I was at Oswego, not at the school, but I had a friend who went there, and we went out one time, and you guys have a lot of bars there.
We do. Most bars per square mile in the U.S., actually, not to brag.
Yes. Yes.
Well, hey, let's set the deal right now. If it ends up being a Plattsburgh Geneseo men's hockey final, we'll see you up here at Plattsburgh at Stafford Ice Arena for the championship game if it ends up going that way.
That would be awesome, Brady. Thank you.
Christine Lisi, ESPN Radio. You hear every single day here with the Sports Center updates all over ESPN Radio. Christine, we appreciate the time, and it's going to continue to be busy there for the rest of the day, I can imagine.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Hey, Christine, we appreciate it. There she goes. That was a fun one. That was a fun interview. Again, my brother said she was, I wanted to have her on anyways, and then my brother said she was a great cook, a great baker, so I had to throw in some questions there. And very cool that she is a Geneseo product as well. So if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. That was Christine Lisi of ESPN Radio. If you missed any of that interview, you can always find it online at 1013ESPN.com. Just recapping a couple of texts that we got while we were in that interview. Nick from Plattsburgh says, I have wanted Jerry Reese fired for years. I honestly think drafting OBJ and the hype he brought to the franchise bought him a few extra years. Well, firing Tom Coughlin, or not bringing back Tom Coughlin, is what bought him a couple extra years, because he could sit and say, well, Coughlin was the problem. So he went out and addressed it. What he thought was in free agency and overpaid for the defense, and the defense got better, so he's able to sit and say, well, see, Coughlin really was the problem. Well, now that's not an excuse anymore. It's not a defense anymore, because the team has just played so bad. I mean, look, we'll go through some of the draft picks here in a second. I told you, since 2007, when he took over as the GM, I think they've only hit on about 15 players. Nick goes on to say, Reese won with Ernie Accorsi's players in 07, and that 2000 run was lucky. The Niners basically handed them the NFC title game. I don't know that that's completely fair, because Ernie Accorsi and Jerry Reese worked very closely together. I mean, Jerry Reese has been with the organization since 1994. He had a hand in drafting some of those players that won. But let's go back here. I mean, just go back to 2007, rather, when he started. I've got three useful draft picks: Aaron Ross, Zach Diassi, who's still the starter on special teams, and Ahmad Bradshaw. I've got 2007, I've got three useful draft picks. 2008, I've got one: Mario Manningham. Have you ever heard of Kenny Phillips, Terrell Thomas, Brian Kell, Jonathan Goff, Andre Woodson, or Robert Henderson? The answer is zero. I've got one there, so we're up to four. Then, moving back to 2009, I've got two: Hakeem Nicks and Will Beatty, who Will Beatty was often ridiculed as a Giants offensive lineman, but at least he was there and he played 88 games. So I'll give him that one. 2010, Jason Pierre-Paul, Linval Joseph. That's it. 2011, Prince Amukamara. That's it. 2012, maybe one if you include Reuben Randall. Maybe. one. I mean, I'll give him that. He had 20 touchdowns. I'll give him Reuben Randall. The 2013, Justin Pugh, Jonathan Hankins, that's it. 2014, OBJ, Weston Richburg, Jay Bromley. I'll give you three. 2015, Landon Collins, Eric Flowers. He's a starter at least. 2016, Shepard, Eli Apple. 2017, too early to call, but I'll give you Evan Engram. We're talking about 1 to 2 draft picks per class that work out. I don't think that that's batting a very high percentage. It's Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. And here at 101.3 ESPN, we are all about trying to help out local families during the holidays, and you guys are just really helping us do that. Christmas is for Kids, brought to us by our friends at Shear Chevrolet, are helping us give the spirit of Christmas to several kids in the area that wouldn't be able to have the experience otherwise. If you guys want to take a, you know, sponsor a local child for the holidays, you can get in at 802-655-6672 like this one. Okay, we've got a 15-year-old girl who all she wants is a bike and a helmet and a giant teddy bear. You know, like the giant teddy bears, you can buy them in the store, you can win them at carnivals, you can win them at the Champlain Valley Fair. Those are the kind of things that this girl wants. She's a 15-year-old girl, lives in the area. All she wants is a bike and a bike helmet and a big stuffed teddy bear. Somebody can make that happen. So if you want to, 802-655-6672. That's Christmas is for Kids, thanks to Shear Chevrolet. Also, if you just have unwrapped gifts that you want to give to kids in the area, you know where to take them. Take them over to Lenny's. They've got four locations: St. Albans, they're in Williston, they're in Barrie, and they're in Plattsburgh. They're our friends as well. You can just take unwrapped gifts there. So that's Christmas is for Kids. Again, we do that every single day. When we come back, the idea of a baseball manager, it's really, really changing, and I'm not sure I love it. It's Champlain Valley Game Night next on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, everybody, final segment, Champlain Valley Game Night, right here on a Monday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Thank you to everybody who, we were just inundated with phone calls there, and Christmas is for Kids. The girl who wants a bike and helmet and who wants the big stuffed teddy bear, we got a sponsor for her. We also got another friend of the show calling in that took another local child. So again, Christmas is for Kids, thanks to Shear Chevrolet. Aaron Boone getting hired by the New York Yankees signifies a change in the way we think of baseball managers. I'm not sure I love it. What I mean is this: the Yankees hire Boone. He's got no managing experience. He's got no college coaching experience. He hasn't even been an on-field coach at the major league level. He went to the broadcast booth, and I think it was really good. But Aaron Boone has no tangible coaching experience. His biggest resource is having been around the game and, you know, being up to date on the current ways of thinking and having played. And what I mean by a change in the thought process regarding managers is this: because baseball is becoming so data-driven, and I'm a huge fan of data, I'm a huge fan of scouting reports, analytics, video, tendency charts, all of it. I'm a huge fan of everything. But I think it's starting to devalue the manager, because the manager now is not being tasked with making a million in-game decisions. A lot of this stuff is being dictated to people. I think we're going to get in this direction by upper management, by a GM, by a scouting department, by, you know, directors of high performance, which are basically, you know, kind of trainers and sports psychologists mapped into one. And these are, you know, they're going to tell managers, hey, this person needs to sit because we want to try to prevent injury. They've played too many days in a row. Okay, this person can't hit against lefties, so we're going to take him out. This person only hits against lefties, so he's going to start. You're going to see less of the manager becoming less important in terms of making decisions. What the manager now is going to be asked to do is just be basically a big-time babysitter, it feels like. This manager is going to, you know, Aaron Boone, Alex Cora, these guys feel like maybe less of managers of baseball than they do managers of people. Because what do we hear about? They need to create positive clubhouse culture. They need to be relatable. They need to be somebody that guys want to play for. They need to be somebody that can connect with the clubhouse better. And I think that all of that is great. But we're also not hearing as much about, hey, this guy's going to make the decision, you know, better than the other guy in seventh inning of, you know, game 114. This guy's going to, you know, he's got a real handle on when to bunt and when to hit and run. If data is going to render the manager obsolete from a baseball standpoint and just make him a figurehead that can, you know, play nice with everybody, then I don't know that I love that. I also start to think that maybe we're going to get managers who are, you know, more easily controllable because they're just going to play nice with the front office and with the scouting department, and I don't know that that's good for baseball. I'm a huge fan of analytics. I'm a huge fan of connecting with the clubhouse. But I want a guy who can do everything. I don't want my manager to be a guy who just takes commands well and bases the lineup card based on what everyone upstairs is saying. If that's the trend that we're going in with this data, I don't know that I love that. Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Real quick, your daily Shohei Ohtani update, and it might be your last Shohei Ohtani update until he actually signs. The Japanese phenom, 23 years old, has told the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox no, he will not be signing with them. Reason why, it looks like Ohtani wants a smaller market. It looks like he wants a West Coast market. The reason for that, probably a chance to forge his own legacy, maybe not be under the microscope as much, be closer to populations that are heavy in Asian Americans. Also, the proximity of the West Coast to Japan in the Far East is far greater. So, you know, it looks like all the West Coast teams are in the mix except for Oakland. You've got Seattle, the Giants, the Dodgers, the Angels. They're in there. You also throw in the Cubs and Rangers possibly. So there's seven teams that are going to meet with Ohtani. We have no idea what motivates this guy. I just told you what I think it is: ability to forge his own legacy, be in communities where he can easily assimilate as an Asian American, be closer to Japan. But when's the last time you remember a guy turning down the Yankees and Red Sox in possibly favor of San Diego? I mean, that's absolutely unbelievable to me. It's an unbelievable phenomena that Shohei Ohtani could throw out the Yankees and Red Sox because they're too big. That's, we just don't know what motivates this guy. What do I think baseball needs him in? Baseball needs him to sign with Los Angeles or Seattle now. And the reason why is because the whole phenomena of Ohtani is that he can pitch and hit. He needs to be in a spot where he can pitch and DH and get regular at-bats. He can do that in the American League. He could do that in Seattle. He could do that with the Angels. And if he plays with the Angels, he's going to play alongside Mike Trout. You have the game's most intriguing player with the game's best player. That would be a major win for Major League Baseball. So, look, I selfishly want Ohtani in Seattle, but he needs to be there or in Los Angeles for the good of baseball. Real quick, a text on the text line. Derek in Middlebury, he goes, Brady, if they pay you that much, you will do whatever they tell you, meaning that the managers will be dictated in whatever way possible if they're paying you. Not everybody likes to be a puppet just for millions of dollars. Not everybody wants that. We get another one. The Giants are doing a house cleaning similar to Philly when the Chip Kelly experiment went awry. Great job, Brady. I appreciate that. All right, that's it for Champlain Valley Game Night. Remember, Bruins hockey is coming up at 7:30 against Nashville. Milwaukee and the Celtics over on 960 The Zone. That starts at 7 o'clock. Hey, for Aaron, I'm Brady. We'll see you tomorrow on 101.3 ESPN.